All right, take your Bibles, John chapter 4. We're going to begin in verse 1. We're going to try to get down, I think, through verse 9 tonight, if I remember right. Yes. And so we remember Jesus had gone to Jerusalem for the Passover after, and he was there when he met Nicodemus, and we talked about that in John chapter 3. And then he stayed for a while in Judea, okay? Probably for several weeks. Now, Matthew and Mark, John doesn't record it. He gives a different reason, but we're going to read tonight where Jesus is going to leave Judea and head back to Galilee. Both Matthew and Mark tell us that at this point in Jesus' ministry is when Herod had John the Baptist arrested. You remember we talked about last week that for a while Jesus was preaching and his disciples were baptizing, and John the Baptist was still preaching and he was still baptizing. And we talked about last week that John kept doing that because, you know, God hadn't ended his ministry yet. He kept following orders until God stopped him, and he stopped him when Herod had Herod throw him in prison. Josephus, the Jewish historian, writes in his History of the Jews that Herod had John the Baptist imprisoned because he thought that his preaching was going to start a revolution, okay? And so he had him imprisoned in a fortress in a place called Machaerus. It was east of the Dead Sea. It was a very strong Jewish fortress. In fact, it was one of the last places to fall when the Romans went to war with the Jews in A.D. 70 and destroyed Jerusalem killed thousands of Jews. It was one of the last places to fall. So from a historical standpoint, the official reason why Herod had John the Baptist thrown in prison was, again, he was afraid he was going to start a revolution. And again, the Jews were very concerned about that. Remember, they had the same concern when they went after Jesus. They were afraid that he was going to stir up the people, and the Romans were going to come down on them. Now, the true reason why Herod had John the Baptist arrested is given to us in the book, the Gospels of Mark and Matthew. John the Baptist had preached against Herod marrying his brother's wife, his brother Philip's wife. He had caused them to get a divorce, and then he immediately married her. Her name was Herodias. And John the Baptist pointed his bony finger in Herod's face and said, "Hey, you've sinned. You've done wrong." And Herod did not like that, and so he threw him in jail in that place, in that fortress. In fact, it was there that Herodias' daughter danced before Herod, and Herod said, "Okay, what do you want? I'll give you whatever you want to a third of my kingdom." She went back and talked to her mother, and her mother said, "Well, ask for the head of John the Baptist." And her daughter went back and asked Herod for that, and that's what Herod gave her. So we start tonight in verse 1 of John chapter 4. And to get started, I'm going to read the first four verses of John chapter 4. Here's what the Bible says. "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria." Now, again, word had come to Jesus that John the Baptist had been arrested. That would have been enough reason for him to leave Judea. In everybody's mind, his ministry was linked to John the Baptist. Now, so leaving Judea and going to Galilee, Herod ruled both of those places, but Galilee was further away from where Herod was. And so when Jesus heard that John the Baptist was thrown in prison, he decided to leave Judea and go to Galilee. Now, John gives us another reason. In verse 1 there, the Lord knew, so Jesus knew, that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. You remember last week we talked about some of John's disciples getting jealous of Jesus' ministry growing more at a faster rate than John the Baptist. And John the Baptist told him, said, don't get mad, be happy. I must decrease, he must increase. And so the Pharisees had heard that Jesus and his disciples were now making disciples and baptizing disciples, and they were baptizing more than John the Baptist was. Pharisees didn't like John doing that, okay? And they didn't like Jesus doing that as well. They had already clashed with Jesus when he cleansed the temple, okay? Remember when he overturned the money table, changers' tables and threw out the animals and drove out the animals with a little whip and said, you've made my father's house a den of thieves instead of a place of worship. And the Pharisees didn't like him, and they confronted him. He said, well, by what authority do you do that? So they confronted him. Now they heard that his ministry was growing, and he was making more disciples than John the Baptist. And so he left Judea. He left Judea to get away from Herod. He left Judea to get away from the Pharisees. And the Bible says there in verse 4, he must needs go through Samaria. Now again, Samaria wasn't under Herod's rule, okay? Herod had Judea and Galilee both, but Pilate had Samaria. Now, Pilate also had Judea. Again, Herod would, they were both ruling under the Roman authority, Herod as the Jewish king, Pilate as the Roman governor. But when it says in verse 4 that Jesus needs go through Samaria, it wasn't dependent on who was ruling or what part of the land they ruled. Samaria was the most direct way from Judea to Galilee. But geography was not the reason that Jesus must go through Samaria. The word must is the Greek word dei, and it means divine necessity. So you could read that verse. It was a divine necessity that when Jesus was going from Judea to Galilee, it was a divine necessity that he go through Samaria. In other words, God had set a divine appointment for Jesus. That appointment was in Samaria. And in order to keep that appointment that God had set for him, he had to go through Samaria. Now, I'll tell you why that was unusual in just a second. But you know, today, when you have an appointment with a doctor or a dentist or some other professional, most of them have a policy that if you miss that appointment, you pay a miss appointment fee. They charge you $20, $25 if you don't call and you don't show up. But when God makes an appointment for us, when God sets an appointment for us, we best keep it. The penalty is going to be more than any monetary fine. You say, Pastor, I've never been charged by God for missing an appointment. You don't know. Only in eternity will you find out. I mean, Jesus had an appointment with the woman at the well of Sychar. And you know, most of you know the story, most of you know the results. We're going to talk about it over the next 2 weeks. God sent him there to meet that solitary, fallen woman in order to give her a drink from a well that never runs dry, a drink of water that if she drinks from that well, she'll never thirst again. She was going to go back into her town, win her whole town, bring them out, introduce them to Jesus. Jesus, when the Bible says he must go through Samaria because God had a divine appointment that he had set for him, and Jesus had to keep that appointment. God does the same thing for us. He'll cause us to run across people in different places if we're following his leadership. He'll direct us to go a certain way. He'll direct us to go to a certain place. He'll direct us to go at a certain time. You see, sometimes we think, well, this was just a fortuitous circumstance, or this was just a lucky occurrence. There's no circumstances or there's no luck when it comes to God's appointment. He directs our steps. He directs our timing, and he gets us to the spots that he wants us at, to meet people that he wants us to meet for very specific purposes. Maybe it's to tell them about Jesus. Maybe it's to be an encouragement to them. Maybe it's to help them in some other way. But there's no accidents with God. There's no coincidences with God. It's all a part according to his plan. And we'd all be well to say, it'd be good for all of us to say, like the Bible says in verse 4, I must needs keep that appointment that God has set for me. Because it will have eternal ramifications. And we might say, well, I've never been charged by God for missing an appointment. You don't know what it's cost if you've missed it. You don't know what it's cost for somebody's eternity or somebody's well-being if we've missed it. God wants to use us, and he will use us, and he will direct us, and he will control where we are at what particular time that we're at in order to meet the people that he wants us to minister to. And we all need to say, I must keep the appointments that God set. You say, preacher, how do you know that God sets appointments? You'll know. The Holy Spirit will direct you. You may not know it until you come out of it. But if you're following and listening to the leading of the Holy Spirit and are obedient to his leading, you'll probably know when you do come out of it that this was set by God. It wasn't luck. It wasn't coincidence. God wanted me there. Now, we're going to read about that appointment. We're going to talk about it in the next few verses. But let me set the stage for it. Okay, I think this will be a review for most of us. But let me just set the stage so that you know the background for Jesus' meeting with the woman at the well. The Jews and the Samaritans were enemies. They hated one another. There was a strong rivalry between the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom consisted of 10 tribes. The southern kingdom consisted of 2, Judah and Benjamin. And there was always some rivalry between those 2 groups of Israeli tribes. That rivalry turned into hatred when the 10 tribes joined up with Jeroboam, the first Jeroboam, to form the northern kingdom after Solomon died. Judah and Benjamin followed Rehoboam. Okay, Rehoboam was one of Solomon's sons. Jeroboam was not a son. Some people call them the Boam brothers, but they weren't brothers. Two different kings. And so after Solomon died, the nation of Israel split into 2 kingdoms, the northern kingdom, 10 tribes, the southern kingdoms, 2 tribes. In 1722 BC, Assyria conquered the northern kingdom. They took into captivity a majority of the Israelites. There were some left in the land, but a majority they carried back to Assyria. And they replaced them in the land of Israel with people from different nations. Those foreigners intermarried with the Jews that were left there, and the children that were born from those unions were Samaritans. Okay? When the Jews in the northern kingdom, who had been carried into Babylonian captivity, after 70 years came back and started rebuilding the temple and rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem under Nehemiah, the Samaritans opposed them rebuilding both the temple and the walls. In fact, they built their own temple. It was on a mountain called Gerizim. They also had their own version of the 5 books of Moses. That was a little bit different than the original. And so, you know, people haven't changed much, you know, when they want to not worship God the way that God wants them to worship him. They'll set up their own temple and get their own Bible and justify what they're doing. That's what the northern kingdom did. By the time Jesus came on the scene, the temple of the northern kingdom in that place called Gerizim had been destroyed. But the Samaritans still opposed the temple in Jerusalem. They still said that Mount Gerizim was the place of worship. And again, once we get to the conversation between the woman at the well and Jesus, that'll be part of their conversation. They'll talk about where's the right place to worship. A strict Jew never traveled through Samaria. They traveled a longer route. They would cross the river at Jericho and go east of the Jordan, and then they go north to Perea, and then they cross back into Galilee. The Samaritans really didn't mind if somebody was traveling north away from Jerusalem and away from the temple. But if they were traveling south from Samaria to Jerusalem, to the temple, that's when they really objected. Okay? Now again, Jesus was leaving Judea, so he was leaving Jerusalem. He was going away when he came into Samaria. Now look at verses 5 and 6. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. So, going through Samaria, they came to this little city called Sychar. It was an area associated with Jacob. In fact, again, Josephus, the historian, tells us that when Moses brought Joseph's bones out of Egypt, that he buried them around this place, okay, around where Jacob's well was. And again, it's called Jacob's well because he probably dug it, but it was a central watering place, main watering place for that area. In fact, it's still used today. It's still there today. So when Jesus got there, the Bible says he was tired, he was weary. It was about the sixth hour, so it was noon. Okay, it was the hottest time of the day. Now look at verses 7 and 8. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. So a Samaritan woman comes to draw water. Drawing water from the well was a woman's job. Most of the women came in the evening. They would come around 6 o'clock at night, at dusk. This woman came at noontime because she knew that there wouldn't be other ladies there. She had a bad reputation. She was scorned by the other ladies in the city. And so she came at a time when she could come by herself, get her water, go home without meeting anybody. Probably had done that many, many days. I mean, that was her routine, to come to the well, to draw water, get back home, not meet anybody, not have to talk to anybody. So she came with one purpose. She came to fill up her water jug and to get home as quickly as possible. A man was sitting at the well when she came that day. And again, it was Jesus. And the Bible says that he was tired and thirsty. And so he says to her, give me to drink. Now, again, they were probably the only two there. So there was no mistake as to who he was asking to give him a drink. He was asking her. In verse 9, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. When Jesus asked this question, the woman was taken back. I mean, she was surprised. She said, hey, you're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. How is it? How is it that you ask me to give you a drink? Now, for the sake of his Gentile readers, John, as he's done on other occasions, add that phrase, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. It actually doesn't mean no dealings at all, because Jews were allowed to trade with Samaritans. Again, Jesus' disciples were in the city of Sychar. They were buying food from other Samaritans. But what John was saying is the Jews and the Samaritans did not interact socially. They could do business together, but it was very unusual. I mean, it was unheard of. It went against a bunch of taboos for Jesus to sit down at this well, and when the Samaritan woman came, to ask her to give him a drink. In fact, there was a Jewish saying, he who eats bread with a Samaritan is as he who eats swine's flesh. If you eat with a Samaritan, the saying was, it's just as bad as sitting down eating a pig, eating a hog. And that was, again, taboo. The Jews, they were not to do that. So her question back to Jesus was full of the prejudice that the Samaritans had for the Jews. I mean, the Jews were prejudiced against the Samaritans. The Samaritans were prejudiced against the Jews. First of all, it was against Jewish custom and law for a man to talk to a woman that he did not know in public. So here was Jesus in a public place making a request of a woman, a strange woman he did not know. He was a rabbi. He was a teacher. A rabbi couldn't talk to his wife, daughter, or sister in public. He could only talk to them in the privacy of their home. And so here was a rabbi talking to a woman in public. And again, here was a Jew talking to a Samaritan. And so when Jesus said, "Hey, would you give me a drink?" she said, "What do you mean? Why are you, a Jew, asking me, a Samaritan, to give you a drink?" Now, again, realize John wasn't there. The writer of the Gospel of John wasn't there. He'd gone with the other disciples to buy food. They had left Jesus there by himself. He was probably writing the encounter as Jesus told them about it later. And again, this story is full of surprises. Because here you have God's Son, tired and thirsty. Here you have the Holy Son of God interacting with a woman whose morals were at a low point. I mean, most self-respecting Jews would have nothing to do with this woman. And then here you have a Jew that's just breaking down all the barriers that had been set up between the Jewish people and the Samaritans people. You have Jesus just breaking down all those barriers and talking to this woman. Yet he did it. The Bible says he must do it. This was the divine appointment that God had set for him. And it was an appointment that Jesus had to keep to show this woman, to show the city of Sychar, to show all of us who read about this account, that the gospel is not just a gospel for the Jews, but it's a gospel for all men. And to show us as an example that any prejudice that we have against other people, we need to set aside and get rid of, because those other people need the gospel just like we need it. Just like we need it. Again, this woman came that day for one purpose. I want to get my water pot full. I don't want to run into any other person. I want to get home as quick as I can. She left with her life changed. From a person who did not want to interact with anybody else, she went back to her city, said, "Hey, come see a man that told me everything I've ever done. Come see a man." And again, we're going to talk about it in the next couple of weeks. The whole city came out. Many believed on the woman's testimony. They asked Jesus to stay for a couple more days. This Samaritan city asked Jesus to stay for a couple more days. He stayed for a couple more days, taught, preached, interacted with the city of Sychar, and many more believe because they heard his word. All because he must go through Samaria. All because he kept the appointment that God set for him that day. We do not know what will come out of us keeping the appointments that God sets for us. If you leave with just one thought tonight, I want you to leave with this thought. God sets appointments for us. We better keep them. We better keep them. Thanks for being here tonight. Men will be praying. Ladies will be praying. If you'd like to join either one of those, please do that. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed. Thank you for being here tonight.